Welcome back to Sounds Like Canada on CBC Radio 1. I'm Sheila Rogers, and I'm here at the Coldstream Meadows Retirement Home in Coldstream, British Columbia. You couldn't ask for a more beautiful setting. It's nestled in the mountains. It's a gorgeous fall day. The leaves are just being raked up. It's absolutely beautiful. We're on Kalamalka Lake. It's a gorgeous place for any kind of home, let alone a retirement home. This home is a long two-story building. There aren't a lot of residents, and inside are the residents whose ages range from 75 to 95. Ordinarily, they'd be going about their days, crafts, physical fitness, meals, games, music, amongst themselves. But enter Sharon McKenzie. She's a grade 6 teacher at Kidston Elementary School in Coldstream, not too far away from this home. And a couple of years ago, we'll make it 4, she despaired about the stereotypes that kids and seniors have about each other, that the kids are scary and they don't give a damn about us. And then the kids are thinking, oh, those seniors, they just keep to themselves. They don't want to have anything to do with us. And she felt the only way to deal with these misconceptions was to spend some real time together. And the Meadows School Project was born. Here we are. I'm standing in a yard. Her class, this grade 6 class, comes here for a month and spends it with the residents. I'm looking at a chapel right now. Beautiful building, a little bit of stained glass in it. It looks out onto the mountain and out onto the lake. What a place for a classroom. And the first person I think I have to talk to is the mother of the brainchild, Sharon McKenzie. Let's go get her.
Alrighty, boys and girls, I'm going to hand around today's schedule. And I've kind of made it up for you because we've got a couple of really major things that we're doing today with the puppets and also with the pumpkin carving and then having our visitors here. So please, could you make sure that you pass them to everybody? Don't leave them sitting on a chair because there is one for everyone and I should get 2 back.
Sharon, the first thing I want to ask you, I just want to talk about the place that we're in and what kind of radical transformation the chapel has gone through to be your classroom.
Well, in fact, it was actually fairly easy once we found that the furniture was movable and we could sort of switch things around. So we took the pews and we were able to use some of those as benches for the students. I brought some tables from our home school and we've gone minimal. We have a wall map of the world and an overhead and a ghetto blaster, and that's about
the ghetto blaster's on top of the organ. I think that's kind of cool.
I hadn't actually thought about that. Yes, the organ is a really great place for us to store things. We brought a clock because they didn't have one, and we've replaced some of the things that they have a lot of weddings here and a few memorial services, so of course we put those things away.
This was your brainchild. How did it occur to you that taking a class of grade 6 kids into a senior's home was going to be such a great idea?
I've always had a few very, very important senior people in my life, which has been very special, so that I was working with that. And then I had always contacted seniors in some way in my regular classroom work, but it was, you know, the Christmas, you go and sing a
Remembrance
Christmas song.
Day.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah. You know, that kind of thing. Finding out their history, and I realized that every time I walked away, it wasn't exactly what I wanted, because the seniors were always a little bit anxious. They had in their mind that the kids were noisy. They were probably rude, disrespectful. They could bump them, knock them over. So there was a concern, especially if they were in a large group, that really concerned them. And you could feel that tension. And I don't think the seniors, we didn't see the best part of the seniors as a result of that. And I think that the kids were, they had been sort of primed to go there, so be respectful, but I don't know, that it takes a while to break those kinds of attitudes down.
Tell me about the stereotypes on each side. What do you find? I guess one way to get at this is, what have the kids learned? But what were their perceptions before they were able to spend a month working with or being with the seniors?
Well, one of the things that came out to start with was that seniors probably didn't like them. There was just that feeling. And so they could feel that, the body language, the tension of having people around downtown and on buses and so on, you know, the looks, not the openness and the friendly greetings. Other things that they thought, silly things like that they smelled and that they were grouchy and, you know, those kinds of things, that they did not have time for kids and they didn't think too kindly of children, which was interesting. really interesting aside to that is I had one little boy 1 year who just absolutely loved this program. He was so excited by it. And I said, you know, it's really funny to me that you're really enjoying this program so much because, wow, you have grandma and grandpa right here in town. You're always meeting. They're coming over for Christmas and what have you. And he said, yes, but, you know, they never just come to see just me. And so in this program, what it allowed him to do was have one-on-one contact or two-on-one contact with a senior. And the questions he asked were his questions, and they were answered to him. Whereas in the family group setting, although it was a family setting, he just felt like he was one of the group.
And the perceptions from the senior side about the students, I mean, was it magic from day one?
Wishful thinking. Well, when we first came here, the kids were primed. They were ready. I mean, older buddies I had worked with, and we talked about it. We talked about the exciting setting and just the fact that we were going to get out of the four walls of the school for the 4 or 5 weeks. And so they came. They were ready to go. They were absolutely primed. And we sat out here. We sent invitations inside. We did songs and dances for them as a group. Oh, we could not break through. They just would not take the bait. It was really difficult. And it wasn't.
Why do you think that was?
I think because of all those perceptions. I mean, you know, a lot of these people, they spend a lot of time watching television. They read the headlines in the paper, and, you know, we know that it's not always good news about children. And unfortunately, the really good stuff that's happening with kids, which there is a lot of, is, you know, found in the back pages of the paper or whatever. And so I think that they were, number one, not used to having kids around, right? So this was a real life change for them. Some of them have lived here for several years. And so this was all of a sudden having 30 youngsters. We had 33 that year coming in was just a little bit much. So we just sort of waited and waited. And Tia, who's sitting here beside me, she was part of that first group. Tia, can you sort of mention what it was like when we first came?
Well, we couldn't, like Mr. McKenzie said, we couldn't really break through, and they didn't want to really have anything to do with us, and so that was kind of a letdown for us at first, but we kind of just kept on trying, and eventually, like, everyone wanted to be doing something with us.
Was there a moment, do you think, when you felt you'd crossed over to the other side and you were being accepted?
Well, for me personally, it was when I made friends with one lady, Mrs. French, so, yeah.
Tell me about Mrs. French.
She became a really good friend of mine, and she just always wanted to be part of our activities. And even after we left, I kept on writing to her, so we had a friendship through letters.
And Tia, is there something about Mrs. French's underwear that you want to talk about?
Actually, yes. She went to a job interview at Eaton's, and it was her first time working there. And Mrs. French was a very proper lady, and she was never seen without, you know, a pleated skirt and everything. And the elastic band on her underpants, it broke or something, so then it fell down, and she just stepped out of it, and she put it in her pocket and went on with her job.
That's a great story. And what did that teach you about Mrs. French?
That she never gave up, and even when something didn't go as planned, she didn't give in to it, and she always tried to make the best out of things.
Do you miss her?
Yeah, I do.
There's a wonderful example of breaking through to the other side. This was something you were able to witness.
Well, sure. It was, and I mean, it was Mrs. French that, as Tia said, was really the key person, and people like Tia and a few other students had befriended her. She'd be out for a walk, and she was interested, and one day she actually poked her head into the chapel, and I thought, aha, a breakthrough. So we issued an invitation to her to come and sit right where we are now in the altar area of the church on the carpet and to talk to the children about her life, and that's when this story about the underpants issue took place. And she went back and she said, now we had been here for about 2.5 weeks at that time, and she went back and she started obviously working her magic in the center. And pretty soon we have buddy sign up sheets because it's all by volunteering, right? We don't solicit anyone specifically. Although now the seniors are sort of soliciting the kids. It's quite funny. I keep losing children. I'm wondering where they are. Oh, well, you know, so-and-so came and got them. But it was really funny because once that happened, it was just like we had got over the threshold. And there seems to be, I mean, I've thought a lot about why is this so simple and why does it work? And it's kind of a lock and key thing. The seniors have the time and the children need the time. And once we got over that threshold and broke down the stereotypes, they realized that the children were very respectful, and that is a key to this whole program, is that respect. They returned that respect to the children, and they became very comfortable. So all of a sudden, in the last week or so that we were here, we were having to put aside a lot of other things we'd planned to do, because we had all of these seniors signing up, and on the last day we were here, they were lined up on the sidewalk waving goodbye, and there were tears, and they were bringing candies, and it was amazing. And then the next year when we came, they were lined up on the sidewalk the day that we were arriving with the furniture, which was really funny. And last year when we arrived, one of the seniors was sitting in at one of the desks when we came into the chapel, and he said, "Well, I'm here, Mrs. McKenzie. I've signed up. I'm your first student." So, you know, it's and you know, at the original time, we had no one signing up. This year when we came, I ended up with these buddy sheets. I had something like 34 buddy sheets in my hand the very first day, and it's only become greater. And not everybody signs up for 1 hour a day or 1 hour a week. Some people just off the cuff decide that they'd like to have some time, and so then they sign up. And
what has that meant to you personally, Sharon?
Well, as I was driving to work this morning, I was listening to the news, and it's bad news, and I thought, you know, I am so very lucky, because I'm going to work to know that I have got 80 people that are going to have an absolutely wonderful day, all because they're just together. And, you know, my dream, I guess, since I've started working in this program, because I'm a real grassroots person, I've been involved in a lot of environmental grassroots issues and seen that we have made some changes that have been far-reaching. And I guess my thought is, you know, if there would be one school in every school district that had a teacher that was interested in a residence, a private residence that was willing to participate, that would be 80 or 100 people in that one place. And then you multiply that right through the province, across the country. I mean, that is changing society, right? And the seniors have so much to offer to the children. And the children, the first days when we're away from here, it's awful for them. I know it is. And we actually set up a phoning schedule, and we phone back during our reading period just to say hi. And we come back right away 2 weeks after we've left for a day to spend some time with them. But the injection of energy, they start to think younger. They start to remember things. Instead of nodding off in the hall, they're saying hi to the kids. You know, instead of choosing to stay in their room, they're coming out to seek out the children, even just to watch the activity. The first year we were here, it was really funny, because even though they weren't signing up, we knew we were starting to make some breakthroughs, because the residence rooms face out into the play area, and we started noticing curtains being pulled back and seniors peeking through the windows. And pretty soon we saw, as soon as the recess bell went, they were at their windows and they were watching the children. And then afterwards I found out from them that they had loved just watching the children play. Such a simple act, you know. It's really neat.
You're smiling, and you're telling me what it means to the students and the seniors. What about you, though? What kind of satisfaction has it been for you?
I don't think I've gone through a day working in this setting that I haven't had tears in my eyes and joy in my heart. It sounds very hokey, I know, but, you know, everyone who visits this program, they come back, they stay longer than they say they're going to stay. They're touched in some way, and it's almost like the whole seniors' residence is a jewelry box, and every day you open it up, and another jewel comes out, and it's just totally places that you would not suspect things to come out. I mean, somebody who's very quiet and you know, has the appearance of being quite grouchy and not wanting to participate, and all of a sudden you find something out about that person, and quite often it's the children will draw it out, and until you've experienced yourself and realize what we have lost by letting these two groups be separated, it's moving. It's incredibly moving.
One of the hard things that the kids have to deal with is the fact that their buddies might not be around the next time they come to visit, or the next year they come to visit. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, that's a tough one. And it's one that I approached the parents with right away at the very beginning. Actually, I was looking at some pictures that we had taken the first year that we were here, and I think there were four or five of the seniors that are no longer with us. So when it first happened, we suffered. We suffered the loss. We knew, we talked about it. We knew that it was coming. Both of the situations were relatively to us sudden in that the people were over 90, but, you know, that was sudden to us in our world. And we cried and we felt really badly. And then all of a sudden one student said, but you know, just think of what joy we brought to them in their last weeks here. And then everybody sort of perked up and we thought, well, yes, you know, they were the ones who were having fun with us and playing with us. And that experience wouldn't have happened had we not been here. So then we realized that we had at least had a part in making their life very special. And actually Mrs. French, that Tia talked about, her daughter wrote me a letter after the memorial. And she said that in her mother's things, when she went through them, there were several things from the children. So you start to realize that, you know, it's very meaningful. I mean, they're putting their pictures up on their fridge, the ones that they color them. Cards, we send birthday cards and anniversary cards all through the year. And you'll go into their rooms and a year later, they'll still be stuck on their counter or stuck in their mirror, you know. So really meaningful things.
You've got, there's a lovely little collection of reflections about what the kids learned during their Meadows School project. And in 2003, someone said, I learned to slow everything down and have a chat with a senior. How hard is it for these kids that are busting with energy to slow down?
We talked about that seniors have time, and that's it. That their days sometimes are just meant to be sitting days, and that's maybe all they feel like doing. And so time, they're not necessarily watching the clock, but the time is there. I think being in this really old building is really neat. And I think as soon as you're in a setting that's not your typical school, that slows you down because suddenly the kids don't know where everything is and it's not super familiar and they become really aware of it. And I don't know if it's just the chapel. I think if we were just in a room, it would be the same. But it was, oh, this isn't our schoolroom. Like, where are things? So, gosh, I've got to go to the bathroom. I have to walk all the way down that hall. And so those kinds of things slow them down. And then just all of us reminding each other, slow down, you know, walking only. And hey, the issue is if they're running and they knock somebody over, it's incredibly serious. We're not talking the playground anymore. We're talking a senior's residence. And this is their home. And I always say, just think how you'd feel if you had 30 seniors suddenly come and move into your house. Be a big transition. So we have to be very aware of that. At the beginning, they go, oh, 30 seniors. And at the end, they go, yeah, that would be cool. It's quite neat.
Where should we go next, Sharon?
Tea time is coming up in about 10 minutes, and I think we've got quite a few seniors over there. They've just finished fitness, so they'll be hungry and thirsty, and they've got some students that'll be mingling with them.
Sharon, thanks, and Tia, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you so much for coming. Wonderful.
I'm Sheila Rogers at the Coldstream Meadows Retirement Community near Vernon, B.C. Sharon McKenzie's grade 6 class is spending the month of October here at this retirement home.
Hi, my name's Kira Erbisfer, and I'm 11 years old, and I'll be interviewing Maida Randall. I'm interviewing her to find out more about what her past is in Coldstream. Were you born here?
No, I was born in Kamloops.
Okay, so
my parents lived up the North Thompson, about 100 miles from Kamloops, so Mother came down in a boat, a canoe, before I was born, all the way to Kamloops, and she went back on, a steamer was put on then, one of these stern wheelers. And we went back in style on the steamer, but it took 3 days to get up to Avon because it stopped delivering pigs and chickens and people with babies. I was one of them.
Okay, neat. So where were your parents from?
From England.
England?
Yeah, one was from Cornwall, my mom was from Cornwall, my dad from Worcester.
Okay. How long have you lived in Coldstream?
I came here in 1934 when I got married. My first house wasn't too interesting, but our second place was wonderful because it was a beautiful farm, a big 75-acre farm with everything on it. My husband died tragically at 44, and so I went on running the farm as best I could. My son-in-law was helping me at the end with it, and it was good. But in the end, I sold the farm, and I went down quite near here, down on Aberdeen Road, and we bought a house that you'd be interested in because it's one of the Eaton houses. You're sent to Eaton's for your house.
Yeah.
And it arrived in Vernon. Then you had to haul all the house out with horses or mules or whatever you had, wagon loads and wagon loads and wagon loads of all this house was packed in a boxcar. And it's a lovely house. We like it very much.
Yeah, me. Okay. Well, since you answered that question, my next question, I think that's we're done already.
Very nice.
Yeah, okay.
We're enjoying having you youngsters here very much.
Yeah. And we're enjoying it having being here.
Thanks to Kira and to Mrs. Maida Rendell. So what are the children learning outside their regular grade 6 curriculum by spending the month at the seniors' home? I talked to four students to find out. Here are Tia McLaughlin, Shay Cernick, Jake Soloway, and Jenna Bowman. Tell me what kind of changes you've gone through in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And Shay, I think I'll start with you.
Well, I had to slow down my walking and I had to talk a little louder and slower. And I had to not go up to somebody and tap them on the shoulder. I had to go in front of them and talk to them before, so I don't scare them.
Had you thought of any of that stuff before?
Not really, no.
The other thing I notice is you're probably not crocheting as fast as you used to, right?
I can't. You crochet because I can't hold the hook with this arm.
You broke your arm?
Yeah.
What happened?
I fell off my bike.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it's hard to crochet.
Jenna, what about you? What do you think you've been through as far as some changes go?
Well, there's been seniors that, like, there's different types of, like, diseases they have and stuff, and we got to learn all about them, and so when the teacher says that they're sick or something, and you know what it means, and then when, like Shay said, when you go to talk to them, you have to slow down what you say and use, like, different language instead of slang and stuff. There's been one lady, and she just moved here, and I've been with her for practically 7 or 8 days, and she doesn't necessarily like it here, but she's getting better. And there's lots of people, and you get to learn how, like, what they like to do, and like about how Halloween was like a long time ago and stuff.
And do you find that some people just like you to be with them? You don't necessarily have to talk.
Yeah, they just like it when someone's around, because if just to keep them company, and even if you're just sitting in their room and they're even if they're just like not wanting to do anything, if they're, yeah.
I'm going to move over to Jake now. And Jake, what stories have really stood out for you in the stories that you've heard from the seniors?
Well, I was talking to one lady last year, and she had told me about her brother who had gone nude swimming, and he had gone missing, and they found a trail of clothing behind her.
Why did that stand out for you, Jake?
Because it was too funny. Coming from a senior telling it to you, it just makes it so much more fun.
So you were here last year, right? Did you know Mrs. Ethel Page?
Yeah, Mrs. Page. Me and my friend Jared had talked to her, and she was amazing. Her husband was in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and we had talked to her. She was just so much fun to be around. She, like, loved being around every kids and all the kids, and she was one of the greatest seniors I had ever talked to.
Was it partly because she knew so much about hockey?
Oh, yeah.
Were you surprised that she did?
Oh, actually, yeah. Like, I couldn't believe how much she knew about hockey. She, like, since her husband was in the NHL, or not in the NHL, but helped start it, I just didn't assume that she would know so much. But when I talked to her, wow, she knew lots.
Tia, in a funny way, you're the senior of this little panel of students that we have here, because you're in grade 9 now, right?
Yeah.
What are the lasting memories for you?
Probably just mainly Mrs. French, and just how we bonded so well, and how it's breaking all the stereotypes that we have about the seniors and the seniors have about us.
Tell me about the stereotypes that you had about the seniors, first of all.
Just that they were boring, and that maybe they smelled funny, or, I don't know, they just weren't that fun to be around.
And what do you think the stereotypes were that they had of younger people?
The boys were long-haired and greasy, and they wore baggy clothes and everything.
I see some baggy clothes, but
but just that they weren't very nice, and that turned out not to be true, so.
How about you tell me some of the stereotypes, Shay? Were there things that you thought about seniors before you came here that really changed?
Well, I thought the same as her. I thought they were old and they were smelly, and I didn't know, like, what it would be like to come here, and now I really like it because it's fun to be around them.
And Jenna, what about you?
Well, I thought that they would be all really slow and be boring to be around, and it's different. They are not fast, but they are pretty slow, but it's fun because they talk about the different things, and time flies when you're with them.
Jake, I'm coming over to you again, as you know. Did you think that seniors were boring and smelly before you came here?
Completely. I thought they were just the worst people to be around, that they were no fun to even be near.
How come?
Just because they liked different stuff that you liked, and just everything they thought was, like, going to see something they thought would be weird because it's too fast for them or something like that. But then when I talked to them later, I realized that they're not that different. They like some different stuff, and they can be a bit slower, but really it's not that big of a difference. Just they like different stuff than us.
Can you see yourself now as an old guy?
I hope not.
No? How come you hope not?
Just because I like being young.
You have a feeling the seniors like being young too, Tia?
Yeah, when they're with us, you can tell that they just, maybe they feel younger, and they just kind of relive their past through stories and just sharing them with us and everything.
Like, we go for walks and stuff usually with them, and they like looking at the bunnies, or they like walking around lots, and they like going to the activity room, and yeah, they're really fun to be around.
Well, how are you going to feel when it all wraps up?
It's going to be pretty sad, but we're going to come back every month and visit, so it's a good experience to even just be here. It's lucky for us.
I'm going to feel sad because even there's another lady here, and she says when we go, she always cries, and I think that'll be good. Like Jenna said, we'll be coming back every month to see them, and it's going to be really fun, but I'm going to be sad when we go.
Were you sad when you left here?
Yeah, I was, but it was a great experience. And if you do keep the bonds that you made with the seniors, then, like I did, you can write to them or visit them and everything. So,
Jake?
Oh, I hated leaving here. It was just so awesome being here. And then going back to school felt like everything just was worse. Here is, like, so much greater than being back at school.
But you're still learning stuff here.
Oh, yeah. Here you do schoolwork every day. It's no different, just you're around seniors and the fun seniors that are fun to be with.
You guys, thanks very much. Where are we off to next?
Recess!
I'll be back with more from the Meadows School Project right after recess and the news.
My banjo here. Oh, let's see. We're going to sing Coming Around the Mountain, Beep, Beep. She'll be driving 6 right horses, and then what? Whoa, back. I'm going to throw a kink into you. I'm going to throw in, we will all come out to meet her when she comes. And to that you say, hi, babe. Okay? She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Oh, we'll all come out to meet her when she comes. We will all come out to meet her when she comes.
Hey, babe! We'll all come out to meet her when she comes. Hi, babe.
Oh, we'll pull the old red.
Welcome back to Sounds Like Canada. I'm Sheila Rogers, and we conclude our week at the Coldstream Meadows Retirement Community near Vernon, B.C. Sharon McKenzie has had her 30 grade 6 students come to school in the chapel of the seniors' residence for this entire month. This is a chance for the children and the seniors to have a real encounter with each other.
Yum, yum. Oh, we'll all have apple dumplings. Oh, we'll have apple dumplings. Oh, we'll all have apple dumplings when she comes. Yum, yum.
So are we ready to start our sing-along?
Okay.
One and two and oh, a deer, a female deer, ray of golden sun.
There are more than 60 seniors who live here, and I spoke with four of them to find out how they're enjoying the presence of the students from Meadows School. The seniors are Mrs. Gwyneth Fraser, Mr. Gard Wilson, Mr. John Cochran, who incidentally is leading the children in a sing-along, and Mrs. Flo Lindley.
Bring us back to dawn.
Mr. Wilson, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
What has it been like having the kids around the home?
It's wonderful. It's really, I think, it's the most wonderful thing that ever happened.
Why do you think it's so wonderful?
Because I never knew what old folks were when I was a kid. And these kids have learned that old folks are still people. And they're sure good kids. And I enjoy them very much.
Have they taught you anything?
Well, yes, they make me feel younger.
That's quite a gift.
Yeah.
And you're how old?
96.
And how old do you feel with the kids?
Oh, about 12.
Mrs. Fraser, how do you like having the kids around?
I love it.
What does it do? How does it change this place to have them around?
Well, a place with children is always much nicer than a place without them, isn't it? They're delightful.
How do you feel about it, Flo?
I feel great. I feel real great about it. Years ago, I was a supervisor at the Deaf and Blind School in Vancouver, and there was a lot of children. Mind you, it wasn't as noisy as this, but the sign language came in good, and I used to get the kids in the gym doing things to each other. And they loved it. And from there on, I carried on with Scouts. I had three children. And we got into all sorts of activities. Yeah. And, of course, the kids went skiing, and I stayed home. Because somebody had to stay home to look after the broken legs.
Some of the kids said earlier to me that when they first came here, they thought seniors were boring and smelly. Did you have any misconceptions about the kids? Did you think they were going to be rude or...
No? Definitely not. I knew they were going to be just natural kids. Yeah. I've been making them all little gifts and little boxes, and they're looking forward to the rest of them getting them.
That's great.
Yeah.
What about you, Mr. Cochran? There you were playing your keyboard and the banjo with the kids. I can't imagine that you wouldn't have wanted them here forever.
Oh, they could stay as long as they like, as far as I'm concerned. They're very well behaved and very polite, and they never pass you in the hallway without saying, "Hi, Mr. Cochran," or "Hi," somebody like that. And, they're a treasure, I'm telling you. And to be technical, I absorb a lot of energy from them. They've got a tremendous amount of energy, and I absorb it. And I hope in return I can provide some stability towards them. Not that they necessarily need it, not that they're necessarily short of stability, but they can always use more. And I hope that we old folks can provide that in return for the energy they supply to us. So, as I say, they're a treasure, and I'm very glad to be mixed up with them.
Did you have any misgivings at first when they were coming?
Not really, because I met the teacher, Sharon, and she impressed me to the fact that she had things in control, and she has, because I noticed when she was in here one day and there was one child speaking out of order, and all she had to do was, she didn't even say anything, she just raised her finger like that, things leveled out right away. Well, that's that's good control, and still the kids love her. So if I had any misgivings, I certainly haven't any now.
I noticed when you were singing, you were trying to get the kids to be more mellow.
Yeah.
How big a challenge is that?
Well, it's quite a challenge, especially when with their enthusiasm. Yeah. And with like their enthusiasm, they want to tend to race and shout and like that, which is good for them. But there's still this mellow side of life that in some ways... on radio stations other than CBC, this mellow part of life is lacking to quite an extent, I think. And still it's very necessary. And the kids, I noticed, appreciated it. And one day I had them here sing a lullaby, and I had them taper down the volume till way till almost zero, and we were singing, pretend we were singing to a baby, and I said, shh, and there wasn't a sound out of anybody. And this is what I think children need nowadays, because there doesn't seem to be much of that in our regular entertainment.
Sure. Mr. Wilson, what do you think has been your favorite moment with the kids?
Well, I just think the kids being here.
Yeah.
I've got kids of my own. I mean, I got great-great-grandchildren, and I don't see them very often, but I get along fine with them, and I get along very good with these. I like these kids, and they're very interested in what it was like when I started school. And you would be interested in that, too.
Well, tell me about it.
Well, I started school in a one-room schoolhouse, and there was eight, one room. And then the grade one, when I started in grade one, there was seven kids in grade one, and I was the only boy.
I bet it wasn't your idea of paradise then.
Well, I didn't mind because I had four sisters.
So it was just like home.
Yeah. You know.
So did they believe your stories, or did they go, wow, how did they respond?
No, they say they've learned a lot talking to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I don't know whether they have or not, but it's all...
Oh, according to the kids, they've learned a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we don't go out and do anything because I can't hardly get around, and I can't see. So they sit in my room, and we talk for and an hour goes by in no time.
You know what? The kids say that too.
Oh yeah, the other day, yesterday or day was it yesterday? I don't know. And heavens, they came in there, and there was a boy and a girl coming in. They sat down. And we talked, and all of a sudden the girl said, I think we better go. And by God, we'd been there an hour already.
It just flew.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on to Mrs. Fraser. Okay. And Mrs. Fraser, what do you think has been the stories that the kids like best when they talk to you? What do they like to hear about?
Oh, I don't actually know what they like.
So do they look to you for advice?
No, I think they think they've got it.
Do you think they're smarter than we were when we were 12?
Not really.
No. What do you think, Flo?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're wiser. They're quick with their answers. Yeah, I love that.
What do they like to tote?
Well, I asked them first what their hobbies were and what kind of sports do they like. Oh, boy, there's hockey. There's baseball. Well, I said, would you like to go bowling? And they said, yes, you can. And I have a little game, and you throw the dice, and they're bowling pins. And when they all fall down, it's a strike. Well, they loved it. I had them all gathered around me. One day they all wanted to play, but we didn't have time. I'm hoping that maybe we'll get around to it. And I've been making them little boxes, as you can see, and a little... A cross in my pocket.
These are crocheted. And,
there's a little verse in there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have one for each one of the children before they leave.
You've been busy.
Because I want them to remember me.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. I don't think they'll forget you.
Oh, I'm not going to forget them for a long time. And Maybe around Christmas time we might see them again. So it'll be nice to look forward to.
I think that's one of the things that the students were saying, Mr. Cochran, that they were feeling really sad already about leaving.
Yes. Well, I hope they feel sad enough to come back as soon as possible. That's about all I can say about that, because they're not the only ones that are sad to see them leave. Yeah. I'm sure of that.
Thank you all. That's beautiful. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Chris McEachran-Law. Today I read my journal into the tape recorder. I read chapter one in my story. After that, I finished my apple. When that was done, we had recess. We played baseball again. We did a math drill after that. I got zero wrong and did it in 5.5 minutes. Next week, me and Kevin and I went to our senior. His name was Mr. Delaney. He was really, really nice. We just talked to him about pets, fishing, his family, and how nice Coldstream is. Today I learned some people have a wife or husband living with them at Coldstream Meadows. I also learned that Mr. Delaney loved to hunt with his dog when he was younger. Another thing that I learned was that Mr. Delaney has two boys and is a fly fisherman. Chris McEachran-Law.
Hi, I'm Colin Smith. Today I was a supervisor for table setting. At the end, because we did a few extra jobs, we got apple crisps for a treat. At 1:15, Scott and I, we got to go to the general store to work. I got to take Mr. Morse to his room. I learned that the more you do, the more respect you get. I learned that the more you talk to a senior, the more they want to see you. Colin Smith.
My name is Sarah McClellan. My daughter is a former student of Mrs. McKenzie. She was here last year. Her name is Jenny McClellan.
My name is Candace Desi, and my son is currently in the program, and his name is Peyton.
My name's John Nielsen. I have a daughter, Monica, who was here 2 years ago. And it was our first experience with something like this outside of the school. So we kind of went in with our eyes open and see what would happen.
I had never heard of anything like it before. And yeah, I just wanted to see what it was all about.
I knew about the program. I'm an employee at the school as well, and I knew Mrs. McKenzie worked magic. And I wanted my daughter in the program, and I actually transferred her to Kidston School in hopes that she would be part of this phenomenal program.
My son just wasn't sure. He wasn't sure that just because it's so out of the ordinary, he wasn't sure that it was something he wanted to do.
With Jenny, there was definitely hesitation. She didn't know what to expect, but because of my past experience with it, I assured her that it was going to be just an amazing experience for her.
My daughter was very fortunate, probably unusual, that we have all four grandparents in Vernon. And so she has some very good connections with older people, with those four. But it was quite exciting for her to get to meet some other seniors and see that they were actually just as cool as her grandparents. And meeting them new and spending probably a lot more time with them than she does with her grandparents created some very strong connections with seniors in our community at this center.
With Jenny, she doesn't have grandparents in Vernon, so for her it was, it actually took a fear away. I think she was afraid of seniors and she didn't quite know how to approach them. And one of the things that I've noticed now that when we go to the mall, she actually, you know, makes a point of smiling at them and letting them know that she's a good kid and she admires who they are. So I think that's what I have really noticed with Jenny. And I also noticed the depth that was missing with her not having grandparents in her life as much as we really should. I noticed that she actually had sort of this value in her that hadn't been recognized, with two busy parents.
I think the thing that amazes Peyton the most is what their lives were like compared to what his is like right now. You know, as far as no TV, no bathrooms, no, you know, he's really taken all that into account and is just, he's amazed by it, by how they lived versus how he lives now.
Until they had their final going away, I wasn't aware of the depth of the connections that some of the children had. A couple of the boys that were maybe busy at the principal's office some days were in tears leaving, and of course all the girls were crying when there was leaving. But the nice part of the program is that the children were encouraged to come back, and my child came back a couple of times to visit them, and that was very exciting both for her and the seniors to reconnect. I think part of the learning was that one of the ladies she really connected with most closely passed away. course, she was very, very upset, but I think looking back on it, she was happy that she had the opportunity to meet such a special lady.
Those parents of students who've experienced the Meadows School Project are Candace Desai, John Nielsen, and Sarah McClellan. The project couldn't have taken place without the cooperation of a private family-owned and operated seniors residence, and Rob Borden is one of the owners and the manager of the Coldstream Meadows Retirement Community. I spoke to him in an activity room where seniors and students were busy carving pumpkins. Rob, what has this program meant to the residents that you run?
This program has just been phenomenal for our residents. It's the interaction, the entire concept, the science of seniors, just overall amazing, and very marketable when people are coming in.
Are you a marketing guy, Rob?
Well, yeah, as owner and operator of Coldstream Meadows for the last 8 years, it's kind of built into my job.
What did you think when Sharon McKenzie first approached you to do this?
I kind of surprised that she would even think of something like this, but just amazing. I mean, Sharon is just such an awesome person. You couldn't have a better person do a program like this. So we were all over it. It was my mom and dad and I that run the Meadows here. And we just thought it was a fantastic opportunity because we're here for our seniors. And you couldn't get a better program.
Now, Sharon told me that it wasn't magic right at day one. Took a little bit of getting used to. What did you observe?
Yeah, what I observed was the just the interaction with the concept or the perceived notion that, you know, we were going to have little hooligans running around, and the kids thought the same thing about our residents. So, yeah, I think everybody was kind of nervous because nobody knew what was going to happen. But within a week, everything changed. It was black and white. It was just amazing, and we're not looking back now. It's onwards and upwards.
How do you think other homes could benefit from something like this, Rob?
I think they could benefit from something like this. You know, you got to have the right setting set up, you know, and the ability to do it. But, you know, for seniors and students, you couldn't get a better program. I think anybody would benefit. But you've got to have an excellent teacher to lead the program. So I think that would be the number one thing is to have a good leader. But the opportunity is good. I'd recommend it for anybody, any seniors home or independent living or assisted living, long-term care. I think it's an excellent program and it should be marketed and expanded.
Have your own perceptions changed?
They have. The students, like I don't have a family or anything of the sort, so it's interesting to have the kids come out and just have their energy. And our residents, you know, when people are moving into a seniors retirement home, that's a big adjustment. They're coming from their own home, and it's hard to, you know, to make friends and get involved. And it's almost like the students, the kids, sort of bridge a little bit of a gap there. And everyone's eyes light up. It's just, it's hard to describe. You need a video camera here.
No, I prefer the theater of the mind, Rob. It's much good. More effective.
I agree, okay.
Okay, good. Rob, what's the future of a program like this?
Well, I believe the future is going to expand this program. We are planning an expansion here at Coldstream Meadows to build a retirement community and opening up the market to a more junior, senior, and retirement cottages. And I think with a program like this, it's very interesting for future seniors to come out and really see the opportunity of our expansion and the program with the students. I think it's a great great opportunity for everybody.
And obviously you're in a growth industry.
A very big growth industry. It's massive. We've got 60 independent living right now, and we plan on expanding to 270. So we've got 23 acres, and there's a whole bunch of students that would just love to come out.
Yeah, we're in the pumpkin carving room. What's going on behind me, Rob?
Well, we've got some kids over there carving up some pumpkins for our residents so we can decorate them and get all prepared for Halloween. We always enjoy an awesome Halloween here, and all our staff get dressed up, and the kids come out in full costume.
Who are you going to be?
Same thing every year, Viking. I am the Viking King.
Very good. You're into it in a big way. Well, I hope you have a great Halloween, and thanks for talking to me about this program.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Peyton Desi. Today I did table centers. I also played cards with Mrs. Trescott and Byron. It was fun. I played volleyball and did a math quiz. I learned that Mrs. Trescott was nice. Byron and I asked what she wanted to do, but she said whatever you wanted to do. She was very patient, too. Another thing I learned was what a dowager's hump looks like. A dowager's hump is a hump on the back from sitting or doing anything like this too much. Peyton Desi.
Hi, my name is Tia Mackwich. First day at the Meadows. The first day at the Meadows is great. I thought the seniors were amazing. They really made me feel happy and welcome. I played badminton with my friends and met some of the seniors, and ate in the gazebo with some friends. I learned how to talk to seniors in a calm way. I also learned that seniors really enjoy our company. I never really realized they reacted the way they did. It was really great, and can't wait to see the seniors again tomorrow.
In 1881, the CPR had just begun. The CPR had just begun working on the railroad. Patsy Oriorie, Patsy Oriorie, Patsy Oriorie, working on the railroad. In 1882, looking around for something to do, looking around for something to do, working on the railroad. Patsy Oriorie.
I'm going to give the last word and the last notes of today to Mr. John Cochran, and a special thanks to Meadow School Principal Harry Adam, to Sharon McKenzie. Sharon, thank you so much for inviting us into your wonderful classroom, and to the Borden family at Coldstream Meadows Retirement Community, and the seniors who just let us into their lives and let us wander the halls and their bedrooms and the activity centers with our microphones. I'm Sheila Rogers. I won't be here next week. Bernie Salerand is taking my place. I hope you have a great Halloween and enjoy Bernie. Bye for now.
Working on the railroad, Patsy Oriorie, Patsy Oriorie, Patsy Oriorie, working on the railroad. In 1886, I sat on a keg of dynamite sticks. I sat on a keg of dynamite sticks, working on the railroad. Patsy Oriorie, Patsy Oriorie, Patsy Oriorie, working on the railroad. In 1888, I found myself at the pearly gates. I found myself at the pearly gate, working on the railroad. Patsy Oriorie, Patsy Oriorie, Patsy Oriorie, working on the railroad. You guys speed me up all the time on Patsy Oriorie. Well, that's all right.